For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. From the letter of Paul to the Romans, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there is one thing that Paul is excruciatingly clear about in our reading today from his letter to the Romans, it is that the law cannot save. He acknowledges that the law had its purpose, stating earlier in his letter that through the law comes knowledge of sin. So the law essentially was only able to convict, to make people aware of their sin. The law was never the plan for salvation. It was a place to make us aware of the need of a Savior. Many of the Jews simply failed to make this connection.
They took as privilege their status as God's
chosen people and held fast to the old covenant, not realizing that it was ineffectual. It was inadequate. This is where the entire line of Paul's reasoning about Abraham comes into play. Abraham was counted as righteous by God hundreds of years before Moses, who received the law, was even born. It was only through faith that Abraham was counted as righteous. And it is still only by faith that we are counted as righteous. Paul is also clear that it was only after Abraham was counted as righteous by faith that he was circumcised. So it is not even the covenant that provides salvation. The righteousness of Abraham existed outside of any structure, outside of the law, even outside of the covenant. Neither was his salvation made by Abraham's actions. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Salvation comes only as a gift, not as something earned, because that is exactly what the law exposed, that none of us are good enough to earn salvation. And this gift of salvation is the gift of new birth, the regeneration we receive in our baptism. That is what Jesus is attempting to explain to the rabbi Nicodemus in our gospel lesson. When we are born again of water and spirit, we are brought into new and unending life. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And we all know what happens to flesh.
We began this Lenten season with a solemn reminder that we are dust, and to dust we shall return.
But when we receive the grace of new birth in the Spirit, we are cleansed from our sins and enabled to live according to the Holy Spirit,
which dwells within us.
But that is key, to live according to the Spirit, which is to live by faith. And here's the catch. Faith
demands obedience.
Yes, it was because of Abraham's faith that he was reckoned as righteous, but he was still expected to follow that which God commanded him. And for many of us, this reality sort of puts us closer to our friends, the covenant people of the Old Testament, legalistically speaking. Because if we are to be obedient, if faith in fact demands it, it's really only natural for our next question to be, well, just how obedient are we talking here? Like, is there a point at which I'm not being obedient enough to where I'm not really living according to the indwelling Holy Spirit of God? Well, falling away from the faith is entirely possible. But don't worry, it isn't something that just sort of accidentally happens. You don't just forget to say your prayers one too many times and poof, you've lost your salvation. It's less a matter of doing, like in the Old Covenant, and more a matter of being. It may help to think of it like being in love. Because honestly, that's what it really is. And it is just as hard to explain. Ask anyone who is in love, or why they're in love, or how they know that they're in love, and you are more likely not going to get a very straightforward answer. Because love really isn't something quantifiable. But this doesn't mean that there aren't tangible signs of the expression of love. In my relationship with my wife, there are things that I do to show her that I love her. Of course, having been together for over 20 years and having 5 kids, busy schedules, mostly that looks like making dinner, or doing the dishes, or helping with laundry. But I also make sure to take her out on a date every once in a while, and to remember her birthday, to remember our anniversary. But what if I forget? Does that mean that I don't love her anymore? Well, no, of course not. Things get hectic, and people aren't perfect. And sometimes during your first year of seminary, between the chapel routine, the coursework, and the mountains of snow, you might happen to miss an anniversary. But what if we forget twice? What about 3 times? What about 20 times? Barring any diminished mental capacity, at some point, it goes from a simple not remembering to not trying, to eventually not caring. And if you no longer care about doing the loving thing that you were able to do for someone, do you really still love them? Likewise, if you know what God expects, if you know what obedience to Jesus Christ looks like in your actions, beliefs, and attitudes, and have no care or desire to do them, does that sound like a life lived according to the Spirit? We can't rely on our goodness to save us. The law was unable to change hearts. It could not offer the transformation needed to attain righteousness. It is only the free gift of grace given to us through faith in Christ that can do that. But even still, our actions tend to reveal the condition of our hearts. Faith demands obedience. And thankfully, we have 2 powerful allies in the pursuit of that obedience. The first, which I've already mentioned, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us, he informs us, and strengthens us to both know and do what God desires. But the second is forgiveness. We can know that God is always ready and willing to forgive those who are truly repentant.
Even the most heinous transgressions,
even the lengthiest lapses are well within the scope of what God will forgive. And with these 2 allies on our side, we can face each day with faith and obedience as we live into the promises that God has given us, confident in the hope of our inheritance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.